Welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Happy finally thaw in the weather a little bit. It feels like spring out there. I was out picking up trash and, I don't know, probably 60 pounds of dog poop out of my yard that had been buried by all the snow. Today we're going to talk about a divorce, but we're not going to start with that. We're going to start with some local stuff here on our first little segment. I don't know if anybody saw in the news that the city, I guess, was contemplating the idea of charging for downtown parking. And I think, you know, that's difficult for the merchants down there because a lot of people down there are from the county. They're just not from Sandpoint. But I had the idea that, well, everybody in the county and people not from the county uses the Sandpoint City Beach. And so, you know, I think you either buy a park pass or you just put some kid out there who pulls people over and charges them to use that. I mean, it's an amazing park. Of course, my other idea for the park, which I'm sure everybody out there in Radio Land will not like, is that little burger shack. Well, that thing needs to go. You should build a restaurant and lease it to somebody who can run it because they'd pay an arm and a leg for it because it's waterfront property. It's got sufficient parking. It's got docks. That means it can get a liquor license. I mean, the city could make a ton of money doing that. It's not going to ruin the beach. That part of the beach is not that occupied anyway, and you know, it's a restaurant. It's not like they're going to say you can't sit in front of the restaurant on the beach. Anyway, just an idea I had. Moving on from that, you know, I can't leave it alone. Just Trump. I mean, my God, do you people at all pay attention to what was going on before when he's going on and on about how he's being silenced and he's being censored and he's it's just not free speech, yada, yada, yada. All right, well, as soon as you say anything bad about him at all, what happens? Well, you get banned from the White House press conferences. And then now he has picked his own group for the first time ever for a cabinet meeting. He picked the reporters who could go there, and that's never how it's worked. I don't know that everybody understands this, that it was an independent group that chose who could be in the room, not the president. So now he's just cherry-picking, you know, I'm sure it's like Fox News and whatever that new news nonsense is he created, and that's who he invites into the room. So, I mean, is that lost on all these people that support him? That's just so hypocritical that it's just hard to even understand? Or is it okay because he has our best interest at heart, so it's okay for him to do it? I'm just at a complete loss how any of this is just blows over people's heads and they don't care. And what it really comes down to is they think somehow that because they think he has good ideas that he should be able to do whatever he wants, which we talked about last time, trying to amend the 14th Amendment to the Constitution with an executive order. I mean, probably a fifth grader can tell you that's not how you do it. So why did he do it? Just because? And all these firing of all these people, you don't fire a vested federal employee unless you want to get sued. And so, again, he's just saying, well, sue me then. Well, a lot of people are going to sue him, and a whole lot of government lawyers are going to spend your money defending this nonsense. I mean, I don't disagree that some of the chaff needs to be cut out of our government bureaucracy, but doing it this way is ludicrous, and now they're actually starting to pay the price for it. I would just dare say to the Republican Party, you better pass whatever big tax cuts for the billionaires you want to before the midterms, because the stuff that he's doing right now is hitting home to the people who voted for him. Anyway, we're coming up on our first break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back.
You're getting more than just tires. You're getting America's best tire warranty, 60-day satisfaction guarantee, no-hassle road hazard protection, and free maintenance for the life of your tires. Other places make you pay extra for that. But at Les Schwab, it's included with every set of tires because more warranty means less worry, and nobody stands by their tires like Les Schwab. Get more from less. Book your appointment at lesschwab.com. Terms and conditions apply. See lesschwab.com for details.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They stock instant chains and carry the reliable Deca line of batteries. Stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC certified master mechanics can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5. Fridays until 6. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. It's just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Thanks for listening. That's just such a great song. I urge you to put it on whatever you listen to it and just give it a good listen because it's just a good song. Anyway, before I get on to divorce, I can't help but mention that this Doge, D-O-G-E, that Elon Musk is calling himself. Well, any of you who study Italy at all, you understand that there was a thing called the Doge, D-O-G-E, of Venice. Basically the most powerful person in Venice, which was the most powerful, you know, market center, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's just so stupid and shallow. It's almost pathetic. Anyway, let's get back to what we're supposed to talk about, which is law, divorce. So let's start before we get to that point. The first thing to know, I've mentioned this when it comes to living together, when you're going to cohabitate and then you start buying things together, that you have an agreement, that you make sure that's clear, you know, ideally we're going to stay together, but maybe we're not, you know, what happens then? And if you want to, as I've always said, couch it another way, well, what happens if you die and then your mom and dad or brother and sister come try to grab all this stuff they think you paid for? So it's the same deal when you do a business deal with your buddy, you know, you write it all down because, you know, do you want to do business with his wife if he dies? So that's why you write it all down. So when you're going to, if you're going to get married and you both have substantial assets or any assets that you actually care about, you should really just do a short, quick prenuptial agreement that addresses them. I mean, it makes everybody uncomfortable, but writing a will makes people uncomfortable. Nobody likes to acknowledge they're going to die, but if you don't do it, some joker like me is just smiling because it causes nothing but trouble. So step one is, you know, if you're going to get married, then have a plan for the stuff you bring to the marriage. If you don't bring any to the marriage, then don't worry about it. Most of us don't. That's mostly for second marriages becomes more of an issue, but it's really, really important to just make it clear because we'll get to it, but there's this thing called commingling, and gifting. And I know I've talked with you, at some point about this idea that you own the house and then you get married, and then your new bride or husband doesn't like the kitchen. Well, you need to remodel the kitchen, so you go to take out a loan. Well, and the court, she's going to be on the loan, or he's going to be on the loan with you, and you own the house. Well, the bank's going to require that you both be on the house and you both be on the deed of trust. And so nobody warns you, you know, you're just like, oh, it's just part of the deal. It's how I get the loan. Well, the title companies don't tell you, and they should get sued at some point for not, because they're practicing law. When you prepare a deed for somebody, you're practicing law. I mean, if you came in and said, oh, I need to do this for the bank, I'd say, well, okay, you do understand that by doing this, you're in effect giving her a half interest in your property that you owned before you were married. Yes, I do. Okay, good. As long as we're clear on that. And that's something I put in writing so they can't later say, well, you didn't tell me. It's like, yeah, I told you, because it's a substantial gift you're making to somebody. So that's, if you don't have a clear understanding about stuff you own prior to your marriage, you're just going to, one, either lose it, and then in the process spend a whole bunch of money on lawyers fighting about it. And you just don't, it's just better not to do it. So if you have substantial assets or any asset you care about, make sure there's a clear understanding about what happens to that asset as far as how it's characterized, is what we call it. Is it community or is it separate? And if it's separate, then, you know, you have to make sure it stays separate, which we'll get to in a minute. So, all right, so now you've gotten married and you've accumulated some stuff, real property, personal property, whatever, and now you want to get divorced. You know, it's not my role to advise you on whether or not you should or should not be getting divorced. By the time you get into my office, you've already made that decision for the most part. And if you haven't made that decision, then I don't know why you're in my office anyway. Usually it's just to find out kind of what, how the process works. And I always say the same thing. How the process works will depend entirely on you and or your soon-to-be ex-spouse. I mean, how you want to view it and how you want to approach it. Because it is nothing more, a divorce is nothing more than a business dissolution. It is the same exact thing in the eyes of the law. Idaho is a no-fault state. There are grounds for fault, but generally, you know, in the absence of some causal connection to a lack of financial ability to, you know, support yourself, you're not going to get spousal support based on a finding of fault. So it's a no-fault state, which means that if you want to get divorced, you're going to get divorced. And you would be shocked how many cases over the years I've had where I'm like, they want out of it. And I'm like, there's no getting out of it. If somebody wants to divorce you, they're going to divorce you. And so, and I think that if people could really just own that and accept it, it would probably make, you know, most divorces go pretty good. Most people recognize, you know, the idiocy of fighting about stuff that needs to be divided equally. But some don't. And mostly the ones who don't are the ones who don't want it to happen. You know, one spouse or the other does not want this to happen. And it's hard to get through their head. It's going to happen. There's no way to avoid it. There's no way to stop it. You can't make, it's just like co-owning property with somebody. If they don't want to co-own it with you anymore, well, you can't require them to co-own it. It's the same in business and anything else. You don't have to deal with somebody who you don't want to deal with. So step one is if you're the one seeking a divorce, well, obviously you're not worried about it. You want it to happen. But if you're not, if somebody wants to divorce you, if they're clear about it and they're very clear about it, well, then you need to just move on. I know it's easy for me to say, but it's, you know, you're going to be sad. You're going to be upset. You're going to be angry. You're going to be all kinds of things. But hanging on to that in the process of this dissolution is only going to cost you money. I mean, that's all it's going to cost you is money. It will do you no good. You will get no satisfaction out of being mad or being mean or doing stupid things like draining the bank account. And on that point, there's absolutely nothing you can do at the beginning of a divorce that's going to in any way impact the eventual division of the property. So if you grab the, you know, 70-inch TV and walk out the door, that doesn't mean you're going to get to keep it. And so, you know, that kind of behavior, again, is exactly how these things get kicked in, you know, out of divorce land and into temporary restraining order land. I just can't emphasize it enough. And it, you know, it's easy for me to say because I'm not getting a divorce. But when you're doing it, you've just got to get your head on straight and recognize that it's a business deal. And it is nothing more than a business deal. So your approach, somebody wants to divorce you or you want to get divorced, what do you do next? Well, the first thing you do, if the other person is capable of doing it, and a lot of times they're not, is sit down and talk about it. Say, you know, this is what I want to do. You know, we should talk about how this makes sense to do it. And if they will engage, then right then and there, you say, all right, what do we own? What do we owe? Who do we owe it to? You know, do, and we'll get to the kid part later. I mean, I'm not even talking about that yet. That's step one. If they will engage with you like that and not be mean and rude and aggressive and things that make you uncomfortable, then by all means, start there. Don't start with an attorney. I mean, there's nothing that will set things on fire quicker than just serving somebody with a summons without giving them any notice that it's coming for a divorce. And that is just the absolute worst thing you can do. If they won't engage with you, then what you do is ask them if they will attend mediation. Because you don't need a lawsuit to go to mediation. You can, you know, mediators will, and actually a lot of attorneys will act as what we call facilitators. So you come in to me, for example, I've done a number of these, and you've had your chat, you think you know what you want to do, and then you come in to me, and I make sure that, just like any other business deal, that I understand what it is y'all think you're trying to do, and then I make sure that you do it correctly. I don't represent either party. So nobody can sue me for malpractice. Well, I'm not giving any legal advice. You know, in the process of that, inevitably, you end up acting somewhat as a mediator because there's usually issues people don't know they need to resolve. Military retirement, retirement benefits, you know, his retirement's worth $100,000, I'm entitled to $50,000, how do I get it? You know, things like, well, you try to avoid trying to do what we call a quadro qualified domestic relations order, which basically just tells the retirement company, when he starts taking retirement, you need to send X to her at this address or as she may direct as soon as the retirement starts getting paid. That's just a further entanglement between the parties. So if there's, what you do is you just say, look, my retirement's worth $100,000. The house is, my half of the house is $150,000. We'll take the $50,000 there and apply it to the house. So you only owe me $100,000 for the house. And then that saves you probably another $4,000 hiring somebody in Washington. I only know one guy. He's a great guy. I don't know how much he charges, so I shouldn't represent that he's charging too much because I don't know. But then you still do have to hire another attorney to draft these things because they're so complicated that if you don't do them right, then it's a little time bomb for an attorney like me because in 25 years, if I did that wrong, believe it or not, as soon as they find out I did it wrong, 25 years later, well, I can get sued for malpractice. So that's why you just hire somebody that's what they do. You take it out of your wheelhouse and let them do it. So I would strongly encourage that. If they won't, you know, if they don't want to engage or they don't feel like, or you don't, anybody feels like they know enough to even really figure out what to do, well, that's when you hire a facilitator attorney. And there's a special fee agreement that makes clear that you're each responsible for half of the fees or however you want to do it. But it is so you can know what you need to do because so many people do their own divorces and their biggest frustration is not submitting the correct paperwork in the correct form. And it gets sent back and forth. Now in Kootenai County, I don't know how much he comes up here. There is a trial court family law, I think, not a facilitator, but an assistant, just to like go over your paperwork so you don't waste the clerk's time. But it will save you a ton of headache and a ton of frustration if you just find a lawyer who will act in that capacity. All right, we're coming up on our next break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We've been talking about divorce, fun subject, and we will be right back.
Sandpoint Superdrug is your one-stop winter shop. Their Ace Hardware Department has you covered for all your winter maintenance. Traction sand, snow shovels, ice melt, and easy heat products that can help keep your surroundings safe. They also have stovepipe fittings, adapters, and more. What's new at Sandpoint Superdrug? our own line of supplements to help keep your immune system healthy and strong. Visit our Nutrition Center and check them out. High quality at a lower cost. Sandpoint Superdrug on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint. Open 7 days a week.
Concerned about your child's mental health? Children of the Trees in Ponderay offers mental health services to children, young adults, adults, and elderly. They offer a wide range of individualized counseling that meets the needs of each child, adolescent, and family. Using a holistic approach, including recreational and group activities, Children of the Trees Mental Health Service on Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay is here for you. To get started, go to childrenofthetrees.com.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry-standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. It's just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. And I only say Arthur, just to be clear, I don't call myself that. It's Art. But Art is, it's actually harder to say than Arthur. And I get Bart and Cart, Mark, whatever. While we're on the subject, well, we're not on the subject, but let's just get the kid thing out of the way when you're talking about a divorce. First and foremost, a lot of really bad parents have kids. And so, you know, the main problem I see in custody cases when I used to do those, I don't do them anymore, was one parent or the other just, you know, not liking the way the other parent parented. You know, one parent let them watch TV and eat cereal in front of the TV. The other one's like, no, you've got to do a crossword puzzle. Who knows? But that's the one thing you got to get over, is they're going to get parented differently by the other parent. And the other parent may be an absolute turd as far as doesn't make him do anything, doesn't make him do any chores, what we call the Disneyland dad. I mean, because they go over to dad's and do whatever they want. That's when the courts will actually ask the kids, why do you like going to dad's? Oh, because he lets me do whatever I want. Yeah, well, that isn't going to work. But they're not going to get parented the way you want when they're at the, when at your ex's house. It's not going to happen. I mean, you know, it's fine to say, look, they're getting wasted all the time over there and having huge parties when the kids are around. That's one thing. But for the most part, it's like, well, they don't make them do their homework, or, well, you know, that's unfortunately the way some people parent their kids. So you really got to get past the idea. And I've had, you know, success with people when they, like, I'm like, look, he's a bad parent, but is there anybody that you would feel safer having your kid with than this person? And usually they're like, no. You know, I mean, the parent-child bond, I mean, if nothing else, they usually keep them from getting killed. And they protect them and keep an eye on them, you know, maybe not the way you would want to keep an eye on them, but they do. And I'm like, well, do you want to spend every single weekend for the next 12 years at home with your kid or trying to rely on them? Would you rather pay a babysitter or have a built-in babysitter? That'd be your ex-spouse. And most of the time people kind of like, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good point. You know, and I have to, of course, do the first part that says, yeah, so he's an awful parent. I mean, if we started taking kids from bad parents, well, there wouldn't really be a whole lot of kids with their parents. I mean, it depends on who you ask, obviously, right? So anyway, just on the kid thing, you know, people do try to use the kids against each other. I see it all the time. And on that subject, just so you know, child support and custody are absolutely unrelated, meaning that if you make an agreement, well, if you don't make me pay child support, then I won't demand any custody. Well, if the court catches wind of that, well, then you're going to lose custody and pay child support, because that's not how it works. I've settled more than a few cases where my client had taped the person making that offer. And I'm like, well, you just lost your case. One of them was pretty funny. It was, they taped him saying that. And the two kids are sitting between these two in the pickup. And then after he says that, he says, well, I got a bag of weed. Do you want to buy it? And the kids are in the middle. That case didn't go to trial. I know, shocking. But he wasn't a bad guy. And as I find out more and more, you know, when I run into these people, I always tell them, well, when they're my clients, I'm like, look, you think you hate this person now and you don't ever want to talk to them again and you don't want them having to do with your kids? I can almost guarantee you in 2 or 3 years, maybe a little longer, maybe a little less, you will be working together just fine, you know, and maybe you'll still take jabs at each other and whatever, you won't like his new girlfriend, who knows, but you'll recognize that, you know, this person is an asset and they are the parent of your child. And just try to keep that in mind in the beginning of these things when you're so upset and so angry and whatever you may be, you know, you can lose sight of the fact that at one point you did love this person. And at one point you thought it was a good idea to be with them. Well, you made that decision and now you have a kid, so you're with them. So you don't got to be married to them, but you're still with them. So, you know, just try to keep that in mind. All right, enough on kids. I used to do guardian ad litem cases. That's when you have like a high conflict divorce and you represent the kids. And one funny story, because I always talk to the kids, and the kid says, well, I can tell you anything and you won't tell anybody. I'm like, well, if you're telling me that, you know, I said some of the stuff that I'm here to do is develop information as to what's going on so I can report it to the court, so you don't really got to get up on the stand. And he goes, well, what if it has nothing to do with that? And I said, well, yeah, you want to tell me something? I'll keep it confidential. And he says, well, I hid my dad's keys this morning just to make him mad. And I laughed and I said, did it make him mad? Oh yeah, he was really mad. And I'm like, all right, Junior. Anyway, I'll see you in a few years. But I quit doing it because I just get so fed up with these people coming in and they'd sit down across from me and, oh, this guy's this or that gal's that, they're crazy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, how long were you married to him? Well, 10 and a half years. And when did all this start up? About 2 months ago? Yeah. Well, okay. So he's crazier now than he was then? Well, just get out of here, man. I mean, I didn't get any more because I just get so fed up. I mean, it was the point like where I would say, how about this? You never should have had kids in the first place. If you can't figure it out enough to get along when you're getting divorced and you're dragging your kids through all this, and if you don't think you're telling them about it, it doesn't matter. They can sense it. So, I mean, it's just, ugh, I couldn't do it anymore. I did not like the people. They made me mad. And I didn't tell you the story. Maybe I have told the story, but I'll tell it again because it's kind of funny. This guy had 5 kids from 3 different ladies. And he worked at Best Buy. I'm not, any job's a job. You're contributing to society. I'm not judging the job at Best Buy. I'm just suggesting that before you father 5 children, you probably ought to have your act a little more together from 3 different women. And so I was handling his custody cases, and his dad finally turned off the spigot. And I said, well, yeah, I'm not doing any more of this for free for certain. And so I quit. Well, he comes into my office, I don't know, like 3 years later. I wasn't there. This guy's a talker. And I told my staff, I said, if he comes in here, you can't let him just talk. He will occupy your time endlessly. And it's a nice enough guy, but he's just chatty Cathy. And so he comes in there and he chats him up for like 2 hours. And I said, I told you not to let him do that. What does he want? Well, he wanted me to do a termination, a voluntary termination of his parental rights for his one of his kids. And when you do that, if you want to voluntarily terminate one of your parental rights, the courts will always, well, almost always, unless you are really, really, really bad, bad, bad person, like psycho, they will almost always require that there be somebody willing to adopt the kid, to step into that person's shoes. Because if the kid goes on any kind of public assistance or anything else, well, they've got nobody to look to pay the child support. And so he had that, though. He had his sister lined up to adopt the kid. So, and I said this, and I didn't look at the calendar, which I would have. I would have realized it was tax season, and he probably got a tax refund, because I said, you tell that ding-dong to bring me down a couple $1,000s, and I'll think about it. Well, then he did. And I was there, and I this isn't nice. I don't think it's, I wasn't insulting him. I said, how about this? You keep the $2,000. I'll do your termination for free if you take the $2,000 and go get a vasectomy. How does that sound? And he was a bit taken aback. I'm like, seriously, man. I mean, we're going to be the ones paying for these kids, not you. And just stop. I mean, if you can't figure it out, then you need to get rid of the gear that's causing all this trouble. I mean, kids are great, but not like that. I mean, I love the idea of reversible sterilization at birth. So when you want to have a kid, it's like a conscious choice. You sit down and say, okay, I think we're ready. And then you look at your financial situation and everything else, and you go, okay, yeah, I think we're ready. As opposed to, whoops, here we go. You know, I mean, of course, there's all the people that say, well, then the kids would just be having sex constantly. Well, because they're not now. I mean, that's good. We just tell them don't and they won't. But I know that sounds Orwellian, but if it's reversible and not harmful, it would really save us all a whole lot of trouble. I mean, unwanted children are not things that we need to be birthing. Anyway, maybe that's going too far, but you'll let me know if I do. All right, so that's the deal with the kids. Again, just briefly on the wills topic, when you write a will, you need to make sure you've set up something for the kids if you kick before they're 18. And then if you have a lot of money, make sure you set up something for the kids so they can't touch any of that money until they're like 35 and have a brain. You have a trustee who then takes care of them. All right, now, well, I guess we're up almost on the next break, so let me just keep on that subject of your kids and wills and trusts. I literally just had a kid come in to see me who had inherited $600,000+, and it was held in trust until he was 18. And then as soon as he turned 18, he got it all, and somebody had completely swindled him out of all of it, and he was 19. So that's the kind of thing. That is what you want to go to your grave knowing cannot happen. I mean, it could still happen if your trustee is a complete moron, but generally they're going to get sued if they're a complete moron. So they're very, very careful. And so they don't, you know, do dumb deals like build the espresso stand that his girlfriend thinks is a good idea out in the middle of nowhere. Well, that's not what happened in this case. I wouldn't give you that much detail so you could figure out who I'm talking about. But anyway, we'll come back and finish up divorce after our next break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and thank you for listening.
Colorectal cancer is one of the most common cancers in both men and women and is also one of the most preventable. Regular screenings starting at age 45 are important since most early colorectal cancers do not produce symptoms. The good news is that colorectal cancer is one of the most treatable cancers, especially when detected early. Kiniksu Community Health wants to make sure you don't forget your rear bumper protection. Schedule an appointment with your provider today and ask about your screening options. Learn more at kchni.org.
In Idaho, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 11.5 million acres of farmland You can see it in the nearly 43,000 Idahoans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $20.2 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. Taylor & Sons has been operating in the Sandpoint area for over 30 years. Over that period of time, our dealership has acquired a staff of some of the best local talent in the automotive maintenance and repair business. Our service advisors and managers have over 50 combined years of experience working in Chevrolet service departments. Taylor & Sons' deep roster of technicians allows for same week or sometimes same day appointments. Taylor & Sons is constantly investing in the training of our technicians to ensure we're the most competent service center in the area for your Chevrolet or GM vehicle. What this adds up to is one of the most trained and organized repair facilities in the region. In addition to our staff's competence, Taylor & Sons Certified Service offers everyday value for maintenance items such as oil changes, brakes, and batteries. Taylor & Sons also offers a price match guarantee on most name brand tires. Tires are always on sale at Taylor & Sons. All of this work is performed in our clean, state-of-the-art facility. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonner's Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students.
Welcome back to Common Law. This is a wonderful Wednesday out there. It's sunny, kind of, and I hope you're all enjoying it because we're not talking about anything fun and sunny here. We're talking about divorce. And again, if somebody wants to divorce you, they're going to do it. I mean, so don't lose your cool and start doing things. It's just going to cost you a lot of money. And again, if you know anybody who wants to get a divorce and they think they have a pretty good idea of what they want to do, then find an attorney to be a facilitator. You know, you'll spend a little bit of money. You'll spend about a hundredth of the money you'll spend if you don't get along or you fight about everything. All right, so let's move on to the actual division of property and how that all works. So you have, Idaho is what you call a community property state. And so anything that you acquire, literally anything acquired during the marriage, is considered community property. Now, it's a presumption, so it can be rebutted. It's presumed to be community property. So for example, if I had my rental house in Coeur d'Alene that I owned before marriage, and then I sold it, and then I bought a piece of property here in Idaho, and I could trace the funds directly from the sale into my bank, and then from my bank directly to the title company closing on this other piece of land. As long as I take the title in my name, I don't even have to say sole or separate property. I just take it in my name. Well, it's still separate property. Now, people make the mistake, like we've already talked about, is taking it in the name of them and their wife. Well, then you can still trace the funds, we call it, and say it was my separate funds. But then the wife's going to say, well, you put me on there because it's a gift. Well, because it's your wife, it's a presumption that it's a gift. So now you have to kind of undo that presumption and figure out why it's not a gift. And generally, a court's going to go, well, let's see, you sold a rental property, which means you kind of know what you're doing in business world, and you kind of know what a deed is. So why would you put her on the deed if that wasn't your intention? And it's really that simple. Courts, I had a case, I think I told you about, where this guy ended up on this gal's deed, and I thought I was going to win the case the whole time, and I did, but only because the guy was honest on the stand, which if he would have been honest in his deposition, we would have had the case over, I don't know, $50,000 in legal fees earlier. But the whole time the court was saying this is an all or nothing deal, and I'm like, yeah, and I thought she was talking to opposing counsel, and she's talking to me. And I only figured that out after we won. I asked for attorney's fees, and that's what she said. She goes, this whole time, I'm like, why would she put him on the deed unless she wanted, didn't want him, unless her intent was to make a gift? So it's going to be really difficult to get around it if you put somebody on a deed. But that's the idea. It's called tracing. So if I take all that money from the sale of my house and I put it into our joint checking account, that has other monies in it from us, and even if it doesn't, well, one, is that a presumption of a gift because it's a joint checking account, or have I now what we call commingled the proceeds with other proceeds that are community property? And that's most typically when the problem occurs, is when nobody thinks to keep it all separate. If it's your separate property, you need separate bank accounts. Well, you can also do it in writing. I mean, you could also have your spouse say, I acknowledge that, you know, you put this 100 grand into our checking account and you mix it up with a bunch of our money, but that's still your 100 grand. Or you just make sure that it doesn't ever come into the community anything. Because if you don't do that, what you risk is a thing called transmutation. You transmute property from sole and separate to community. And you can also do it from community back to sole and separate. Usually that's done with a deed, but it can happen if you commingle proceeds in any number of ways. That's why it's important to, you know, keep these things separate. So let's just go with the presumption that everything you all own is community property. Well, it's divided equally. And the other big mental thinking error that I used to run into when I did divorces, which I don't do anymore, I'll do one for an existing client. I won't take any new ones, primarily because I'm used to people that are making fairly rational business decisions, and that doesn't happen, and it drives me nuts. I'm like, I can't deal with the lack of logic. But the presumption is that everything's going to be divided equally, and the big mental block I get is if one spouse or the other wasn't working during the marriage, or maybe not very much. The spouse, usually men, I mean, just from the way we are, they do not understand why, you know, I did everything. I made all the money. Why does she get to have half of it? And blah, blah, blah. She's taking everything I own. And that is just a thinking error. And if you don't get over it, that's going to make you bitter and angry and useless to your attorney and to yourself. Because that's not how it works. It doesn't matter who did what at home. And it does actually matter to you. I mean, you're saying she didn't do anything. All right, well, did you tell her to get a job? And you know, if you did, it doesn't make any difference anyway. But if you didn't, and you said, no, I like it when you stay at home and cook and clean and take care of my kids, well, guess what? Well, she's going to turn that on you, or he's going to turn that on you. Which is, yeah, I didn't do anything because I was here taking care of the house, and now I'm going to go to college and you're going to pay for it. And that's really another myth that you'll hear in divorces is the women always get everything and screw over the men. Well, that is a direct product of that thinking error we just talked about. The whoever makes the money thinks that somehow they're entitled to more than the person who didn't work. Well, you know, you've made your deal with this person, and if you let them sit around the house and do nothing, well, then that's what they're doing, you know. And if you don't like it, then you divorce them, which is what you're doing. So it doesn't mean, though, that somehow you get more stuff because you did, quote, all the work. So get that idea out of your head, and then everything's just equal. It's just equal in how you get there. And that's why I say you really got to get through your head that you're going to get divorced, and no, it doesn't matter who made more money. It only matters when the stuff was bought and with what money. Inheritance, real quick, inheritance is separate property. So if you get a big chunk of money from grandma or whoever, well, if you plop it into your community checking account, you've got trouble. Unless you wanted to give it to the community, then that's fine. Just understand what you're doing. But equal is equal, and how you get there, that's why you've really got to keep your head on straight. I mean, equal is equal. You can be angry and bitter and whatever, but half is half. Reminds me of, I don't remember what Eddie Murphy, that was Raw or Delirious, but when he was going on about half, I want half, you know, and he's, you know, using what I'm talking about as a joke, which is somehow that's not okay that they want half because they don't want work. And really, that's not how it works. But when I say you can get to equal any way you want, that's where y'all need to sit down and say what makes sense. Because if you don't sit down and say what makes sense and, you know, at least knock out the things you can, it's just such a horrifically huge waste of money to litigate these things. It is, and nobody's getting their fees. And fact is, if it's just absolutely useless. If you can't figure out what is equal, then usually it's about a valuation issue. So if one or the other is saying something's worth X, well, you say, how about this? We hire an appraiser of whatever kind. If it's a Ross Hall painting, I can get you an appraiser for that. If it's a chunk of dirt, obviously there's a bunch of them out there. And then you write up a little thing that says, we agree to be bound by whatever this person says, and we're not going to challenge it. And then you sign it, but then you also need to sign it in front of a notary because it is what we call a marriage settlement agreement. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this with you all, but this is a hugely important point. If you sit down and you come to some agreement amongst yourself, even if you don't cover everything you think, but you think you got enough in there, like we own this, we own that, you take this, I'll take the debt, you know, whatever, anything with the kids, if you have any, even if you don't have that signed, it is completely unenforceable. And I mean, it's to the point where you could, and what's interesting is I've tried to warn my brethren out there that we used to all the time stand up in court and one lawyer would read the stipulation for the order we were all agreeing to. And then the judge would put the parties under oath and say, is that what you're agreeing to? And they say, yes. Guess what? That's not enforceable. You're like, what? How can that not be enforceable? They swore in front of a judge. Doesn't matter. It has to be signed. I mean, it's that strict. And so if you get an agreement and you let somebody leave the room without signing it, well, I don't care. That person can go to court and say, yeah, she's right. I agreed to all that. But I didn't sign it, so no dice. I mean, it's that harsh. I just had a big appeal on that where they reached, well, my client doesn't think they did. The court thought they reached an agreement in mediation, but he wouldn't sign. Well, the mediator let them all leave, which in a family law case, you do not ever do that, especially if it involves kids. Because if somebody leaves without signing something, they're going to go home and hear about so-and-so's uncle's cousin's brother who got this, that, and the other thing, which is when I did do family law, I'd say, you do not talk to any of your relatives about any of this. Don't talk to anybody about anything. The facts of every case are so wildly different that whatever they're telling you has no relevance to you. None. I mean, that's why I tell even my non-family law cases, I'm like, you can talk about your case, but if somebody's telling you something, you need to be real careful because you don't know precisely what you're conveying. You understand why you've hired me, but you don't understand what I'm doing. I mean, it's not because you're dumb. It's because you're not trained. And this stuff is really complicated. So looks like we're almost out of time. Again, I'll just wrap up the divorce thing. Equal is equal. 50-50 is 50-50. There's nothing you're going to do to change 50-50. So figure out what stuff is worth. If you can agree on what it's worth, great. If you can't agree, then write up something, sign it in front of a notary that says, we're going to hire this guy to appraise this Ross Hall painting, and we agree to be bound by whatever he says. Save yourself a whole lot of money by calming down, taking deep breaths, and realizing that it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Anyway, this has been Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoy the first day of spring, which is coming up upon us. Sounds like daylight savings is also, which is my favorite time of the year. I don't know why we switch it back and forth. But anyway, you all enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you next month.